Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 21st, I'm sorry, the day before Thanksgiving. And, of course, over the last few years, we've made it a tradition, if you want to call it that, to chat with our friend Frank Burke. What we usually do is kick around Thanksgiving and some of the issues related to it, and then we have the opportunity to hear something that Frank will read to us. And it's a big surprise for me this year, so that's the way I like it. I don't want to know what he's going to read until he does it or until he shares the message with us. So let me say happy Thanksgiving to our friend Frank. Frank, this is a tradition. I think anytime you do more than 3 years these days, you got to call it a tradition.
I think definitely. I think it's historic, in fact. Thanksgiving, Silvio, and to all our audience.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. This is becoming such a tradition that it's only a matter of time before someone's offended, because everybody seems to be offended these days. But before you comment on that, Frank, I got to ask you about the weather up in Wisconsin, because I understand it's pretty cold up there. I was watching the news that everybody up there in Wisconsin and going out to the East Coast is going to be under some pretty cold temperatures. So tell us about the weather.
Well, you know, the weather has not been bad. It's been below normal. In fact, and today it's in the 20s, and at night it's gone down to like 19 or even lower than that. But there's no snow on the ground. Right here in Reidsville, there is, I think, and it's been spotty in the northern and western parts of the state. And we're in, east central Wisconsin.
Okay.
So it has not been terrible. People go out with jackets. I walk the dogs with a long bathrobe in the morning. So,
now, Frank, I remember a time when that could have prompted a call to the police. A man walking a dog with a bathrobe. So I don't know. I'd be careful about doing that, Frank.
I think my neighbors at this point are used to me.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, I just thought maybe if somebody else moved in,
right.
I could just remember, you know, I could just imagine somebody looking out the window and saying, "Hazel, who's that out there walking his dog in a bathrobe?" You know.
Exactly.
But anyway, well, I'm glad to hear that, because I just happened to look at the map a few minutes before the show, and I was thinking of our son who lives up in New York now. And I was thinking, wow, it's cold up there. And then I looked at the map, and it seemed to be going out west as far as the Great Lakes. And I just thought maybe it impacted you as well.
Yeah, you know, over the last, I'm going to say decade, New York and the Northeast has had much rougher winters in terms of the amount of snow and the temperatures than we've had here.
Wow.
And, you know, normally people think of northern Wisconsin, the northern plains and Wisconsin as being very, very cold. And it can be cold. We typically have a week. Last year we had 2 weeks of zero or below. But then it stops, and, you know, it's very bearable. Where is your son? Is he in the city?
Yeah, he's in the city itself. Manhattan, I guess, is what
okay.
It is.
Well, there was some talk that they were going to have to possibly, I don't think they will, it's kind of right on the border, not put the balloons up for the Macy's parade because of the gusts of wind. And they say it's going to be very cold, which is unfortunate because it's going to be very tough on the marchers.
Yes. Now, that you mentioned Macy's, and this is something that, of course, you being from New York originally, How big, when you were growing up, how big was the Macy's Parade?
Oh, the Macy's Parade was a major event. And, I mean, you even have a movie about it, Miracle on 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been to the actual parade because, you know, you could watch it on TV.
And yes,
my parents felt, you know, my dad worked hard. He was he worked for Sears. He was a mechanic. And if he could sleep in for a day, I don't think he wanted to get up and take the subway into Manhattan and stand in the cold for 3 hours waiting for Santa Claus.
No, not when he saw Santa Claus every day at Sears.
There's a very funny New Yorkism. The parade is typically called the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Mm-hmm.
But in New York, where everything seems to be in shorthand, it was referred to as the Macy's Day Parade.
Macy's Day. Well, I just know that it's interesting because when I lived in Mexico City, I worked and lived in Mexico City for 4 years. I thought one of the most interesting things was on Thanksgiving Day, of course, in Mexico City, it's just a normal business day. There's no holiday. So people go to work and, you know, like they do any other day. And I remember that day, my very first Thanksgiving in Mexico, you know, going to the office and seeing these ladies who worked in the office all, you know, really tuned in to the TV. And I said, well, what happened? I said to the ladies, what happened? It's some big news. And they go, no, Macy's, the parade. And they were watching it on TV. And then I began to talk to them about it, and from what they were saying to me, this was a huge thing in Mexico, that it, literally women at home, and sometimes men at work, but especially women at home, this was a huge event. They would watch the Macy's Day Parade as if this was some, you know, I don't know, some big event that they would tune into because of the kids, the same reason we do here.
Right. Well, you know, that's wonderful to hear, you know, that there are some things that can unite us across borders and whatever. And I'm sure that anybody who's been a part of that parade would be extremely gratified to hear that.
Yeah, I would think so, because I know that a lot of time goes into it. I'm sure the preparations, the movie that you mentioned, Miracle on 34th Street, is of course about Santa Claus, but you can tell the amount of resources and people who march in that parade. And so, yes, I agree with you on that. Now, I started out by saying, before I asked you about the weather, that people are awfully offended these days, very quickly offended these days, which makes it sometimes difficult to be thankful for, because you want to be thankful for that. Yeah. And then you have these people who are so offended over everything. And the latest item on the sensitivity list, I guess, is some people who are offended by Thanksgiving because it apparently was not nice to the Native Americans. Now, I'm not going to sit here, Frank, and defend everything that was done to the Native Americans. There were some things that were clearly unjust, and that's you know, that's just part of history. I mean, that's like, I'm not going to defend everything the Spaniards did in colonizing, you know, Spanish Latin America or whatever. I mean, look, excesses, anytime you colonize anything, you're not going to do it by telling people to please move. You know, it's always going to be there's going to be a certain amount of mistreatment, and there's going to be a certain amount of just insensitivity to whatever culture you're colonizing. Okay, so I get that. I don't, as they say, overlook the truth. But the Thanksgiving holiday itself, I don't get the connection to that offending anybody. I mean, the Thanksgiving holiday is a day that every immigrant group in the United States has been brought into, to the point that if you go to, let's say, an Italian home, there may be some things on the table from Italy beyond the turkey. If you go to a Mexican home, I know it's very popular in Mexican homes to have tamales for Thanksgiving. as well as turkey and everything else. So I don't get why people would be offended by Thanksgiving, Frank. I mean, can you explain that? Have you been able to figure that out?
Well, no, of course not. I accept that I think there are people who take pride in being victims. And it's become very chic in our society, unfortunately, to consider yourself a part of a minority and a victim. And it's ridiculous because people are doing things that are manifestly stupid and that are going to have a very bad effect on our culture. Now, granted, historically, yes, relations between the whites and the Indians did break down, but the Indians were there at the first Thanksgiving celebrating with them. And that could be, they were very grateful to the Indians because the Indians had shown them how to plant corn and some other things that that they would not have known otherwise. So, you know, the people who are complaining about that, they complain about everything. And if there's one thing that this country has to learn, mm-hmm. it's let's stop listening to the cranks.
Right.
The idea that if one person is offended, that's one too many, and we've got to make a change. If one atheist doesn't like the manger scene, well, we've got to get rid of it. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense.
That's right. No, you're right. So, you're right. If you don't like the, you know, as my mother used to say, if you don't like the little baby, just don't stop.
That's
or don't,
right.
You know, just don't keep walking. Or you know, my mother's favorite line was, if you don't like Christmas, go to work. You know, because she would say, you know, these guys want to have it both ways. They want a day off from work, but they don't believe in Christmas. But
yeah.
they want to call it Christmas. So my mom used to say, well, if you don't like Christmas, go to work.
Well,
you
know,
go
you
work
know,
on Christmas.
Yes, exactly. I'll tell you, it's funny. My wife Peg and myself were talking this morning about the bitterness and the anger, and the, especially in the Democrat Party on the right, the ridiculousness of the socialism and all that. And, you know, we came to an interesting point. I don't know if it's definitive. I doubt it is, but it could be something. Most of this is coastal. It's the people on the East Coast and the people on the West Coast who are so angry and radical and just steaming with this stuff. And we've seen it with a couple of people we know. And I wonder if that isn't a result of living places like New York and Los Angeles, where really, without even thinking about it, the living is so much harder. You get into a car and you can be stuck for hours. You're always worried about crime, whether somebody's going to, if you're walking down the street at night, you're going to be a little bit nervous. You're going to be looking behind you. You're going to be angry about your taxes, about this, about that. And ultimately, it all spills over. It destroys your personality. It rots out your heart, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point, because when most of the, I mean, certainly in California, I mean, the coastal section of California, you know, the cities on the coast are just, I mean, they're about as flaky as they can get when it comes to just about everything. I mean, and yet when you go inland, the rest of California, now granted, most people live on the coast, I know, but when you go inland, most of those people are pretty conservative. They live in small towns. They have conservative
mm-hmm.
values. And they're angry at the people in the city because they feel underrepresented. They feel
yes.
like, you know, the people on the coast don't listen to them, and that's probably true. But I wonder to what extent it's also all these people being offended, Frank. I wonder to what extent is this simply a case of taking things too seriously or taking things too literally? Because, you know, if someone were to say to me, for example, if someone were to say to me, well, George Washington had slaves, I would say, yes, he did, by the way. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you go to Mount Vernon, you can see evidence of the fact that he was a slave owner. But you know what? So did just about every other prominent person in the world at that time
right.
had slaves. In Africa, they had slaves. In fact, it was It was tribal leaders in Africa who caught the young men and then sold them to the white traders. And when you put it in that kind of perspective, I'm not justifying slavery. I'm just trying to see the big picture of it. And the same thing with all these other things that people are so offended about. If you stand back and look at the big picture, yes, mistakes were made. Yes, you can be offended about this and that. But there's so many more things that you could be happy about that, you know, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life worrying about whether somebody was discriminated 500 years ago, I'm going to live a miserable life, Frank.
Oh, of course you are. Of course you are. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where, my ancestors came from Ireland, and they did not have it easy when they hit New York.
No, they didn't, for sure.
Signs, no Irish need apply, and a lot of prejudice against them. But I don't sit around saying, I want reparations. My great-great-great-grandfather could have been a millionaire, and I'd be rich today. I mean, come on. I do substitute teaching, and when I do history, which I love, I always begin by saying to the class, the one thing you cannot do in history is to project today's morals and values on the people of another time. You're not being fair to them or to you. And and that's what these people are trying to do.
And I also think that they're doing it to keep a lot of people angry. In other words, they're angry, so they want to make other people angry. It's like the person who comes to your house for a party, and he's angry at everything, and he doesn't understand why everybody else is not angry. And that's kind of like, you know, I just think that we have so many people who are so easily offended, so easily upset about anything, that it makes me wonder if maybe these people shouldn't just stop watching TV, or maybe, as you say, drive around the middle of the country and see other parts of the country where things seem to be working a lot better, Frank.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's the difference between what they call downstate Illinois and Chicago upstate New York and Manhattan.
Yeah, that Illinois is a perfect example of what you're saying, because that's like two countries.
Chicago, exactly.
And the rest of Illinois, that is two countries. That's probably the best example that there is. Let me ask you another question, then we'll take a break and then we'll hear your message. At a time like this, see, I feel I have a lot of things to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of things to be thankful for, I feel, in my life right now. But some people just, you know, some people aren't, they're just angry about everything. And especially politics, you know, they're so consumed with politics, and they can't seem to get over that. I mean, yes, I'm political. I take a lot of political positions. I write a lot of political things. But I also understand that there's bigger things in my life than who wins the election. And yet I feel that there are some people who are so consumed with politics that politics has basically taken control of them, and now they're like hostage to whatever political anger they have, Frank.
Well, you know, Sylvia, I've thought long and hard about this, and I have a thought, and that's the fact that I don't think people are happy unless, you know, Schweitzer, I think Albert Schweitzer, great man, once said, no person is truly happy unless they serve a cause larger than themselves. And for many years, for many people, that had to do with their religion and their beliefs. And for many, it still does. Because you're serving the cause of God and your neighbor, and you feel that, you know, this is good. But in religion, there were always people who were religious fanatics, who were looking for sin everywhere, who were accusing other people, who were self-righteous to the extreme. And I think these days, in a much less religious age, people have transferred that need to politics. And the self-righteousness, the anger, the searching for sin of the religious fanatic has been transferred to the area of politics. So political correctness is their new Bible, their new, you know, if you're not politically mm-hmm. correct, you're a sinner.
Right.
And I think that's where it comes from. I think it's the absence of God. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's very unfortunate because ultimately, if you could get these people and talk sense to them, the religious fanatics, they would understand that God is love and there's a redeeming factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you, there's no redemption through the communist, the socialist, or the Democrat
no.
Party.
Right. Or even if you were on the other side, if you were a right-wing conservative, you
yeah,
know, and fanatic, that's not a good thing either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think any kind of fanatic,
it's a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it basically pollutes your mind, and you see everybody as a liberal or as a conservative rather than as just somebody you know who once in a while you have a disagreement with. But the disagreement is done respectfully. You don't hate the person. You don't call him a racist because he votes differently than you do. You simply say, you know, you and I have a different viewpoint on that, and let's
right.
have a cup of coffee and talk about baseball. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
And that's what I think is missing in the country. It's that feeling between people that, you know, we can disagree about this or that, but we don't have to hate each other. When I see some of the crap, and this is one of the reasons, Frank, I've tuned out much of the cable news. I really don't even watch it anymore
mm-hmm.
Because I think that, I mean, once in a while I'll watch if I want to watch news, I may watch it, but I've tuned out a lot of the talk shows because they're so extreme. It's either, you know, you're with me or against me type thing. And life is a lot more complicated than that, Frank. Life is a lot more complicated than you're with me. It doesn't mean that you'd compromise your values, but I'm simply saying life is a lot more complicated than living in one extreme or the other. And I just fear that people are not, you know, are not talking to each other. We're not communicating with each other. And part of the reason is that how can you communicate with someone who starts out by calling you a racist, Frank?
Right. Well, we're perpetually judging each other. And, mm-hmm. the whole purpose of life gets lost in that. If you look at the so-called resistance to Trump, here's a whole political party that has spent 2 years doing nothing for the benefit of the American people, just trying
mm-hmm.
to stop this duly elected man who really
right.
has some very good ideas. I'm not saying every one of his ideas is right, but there's enough common sense there that working with him, a lot more could have been done.
Absolutely. And in fact, just today I learned that the Democrats in this last election spent they spend billions of dollars. I don't know whether it's $2 billion,
mm-hmm.
$3 billion, $4 billion, but it was the most amount of money that has ever been spent by one side to win the Congress. I mean, just here in Texas, we had this fellow O'Rourke who had
mm-hmm.
$80 million to win his Senate seat. He lost, but he had that much money.
Yeah.
And this money was thrown at you know, again, basically it was really against Trump. That's what it was all about. And then at the end of the day, sure, they did win the House, but they won the House. I mean, they don't exactly have a supermajority in the House. They didn't pick up the Senate. Yeah, they picked up some governorships. But at the end of the day, it really didn't change things dramatically as much as I suspect that they thought it would. And yet, you know, I'm sitting there saying, what if they had taken that $3 or $4 billion and paid the health insurance premiums of, let's say, 100,000 people?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, when you look at what the situation is now, okay, they have the House. Now they're going to have to govern. And I'll tell you, if all they want to do is start more and more investigations, I think the whole populace is going to be disgusted with them.
That's right. I mean, they're not exactly popular. They won a lot of close elections in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's about 15 or 20 here in Texas. We had two Democrats who won. But they won very close elections. Those elections are competitive 2 years from now. Or their reelection is very competitive 2 years from now. So they better get over this hate Trump stuff, especially now that they have to govern. as you indicated. Frank, we're going to take a break, and then you're going to surprise me when you come back, because I don't know what you're going to do today, and that's the way I like it.
So, well, I don't know if it'll be a surprise.
Well, we'll wait and see. I'm sure it's going it's going to be absolutely wonderful. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website or his schedule on the show information right under the show description. We also have a link to my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer here in Texas. Or if you're looking for a car, call Duke. If you want to go out on a Saturday night and enjoy some music, follow my friend Carlos Guedes. I should point out to the audience that we have a link also to Frank's book on the show information. Frank is a businessman, an author, and a contributor to American Thinker, and he's also a contributor to Surprises to our show. And so happy Thanksgiving, Frank. Let's hear your comment for 2018.
Well, all right. There are several.
Okay.
Mercifully short, except for perhaps the last one.
Okay.
But of course, Thanksgiving, which many people, you know, they talk about it as, well, I'm thankful. You're thankful to what or to who? For many, the term, I think, has become an abstraction. But for those of us who share faith in the community of faith, and I include everyone of all religions, I think that it has a great deal of meaning. So my first little reading having to do with this comes from Psalm 145, and some of the phrases of it talk about some of what God has given us. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is right, is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And that is from the Psalms. The second part is from the New Testament, and it talks about the importance of gratitude or thanksgiving. It's from the 17th chapter of St. Luke. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So, the two readings on the serious side about thanksgiving. And now something that, if we have time, I read this, I think, one time before, but this is a poem by Lydia Marie Child about Thanksgiving. And this is to Thanksgiving what the night before Christmas is to Christmas. So just as we don't particularly mind hearing the same words every year on Christmas, maybe we can get used to hearing them on Thanksgiving.
Let's do it, Frank. You've
Here
got the microphone, as they say. The microphone is yours.
All right, jump into your open sleigh and get ready to go.
That's right.
Over the river and through the wood to grandfather's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the wood to grandfather's house away. We would not stop for doll or top, for 'tis Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the wood, with a clear blue winter sky, the dogs do bark and children hark as we go jingling by. Over the river and through the wood to have a first-rate play. Hear the bells ring, ting-a-ling-ding, hurrah for Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood, no matter for winds that blow, or if we get the sleigh upset into a bank of snow. Over the river and through the wood, to see little John and Anne, we will kiss them all and play snowball and stay as long as we can. Over the river and through the wood, trot fast, my dapple gray, spring over the ground like a hunting hound, for 'tis Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood and straight through the barnyard gate, we seem to go extremely slow, it is so hard to wait. Over the river and through the wood, old Jowler hears our bells. He shakes his paw with a loud bow-wow, and thus the news he tells. Over the river and through the wood, when grandmother sees us come, she will say, oh dear, the children are here. Bring a pie for everyone. Over the river and through the wood, now grandmother's cap I spy. Hurrah for the fun. Is the pudding done? Hurrah for the pumpkin pie.
That's pretty good, Frank. The only thing you have to do next year, Frank, is read a politically correct version of that. And determine how many victims you can come up with in that poem.
Yes, all the poor pumpkins that were slaughtered.
All the poor
pie.
Pumpkins, the horse that has been brutalized over centuries.
The dog.
The dog that has been used by mankind to promote this and that. And then, of course, the poor grandmother who has been a slave to her husband for centuries. You've got a lot of politically correct opportunities in that, Frank.
That's wonderful, Silvio.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's what I want to hear. I just, given that we're in this time where everybody's offended, I just thought that if you were to deliver that speech if you were to read that in a university today, there may be lots of people protesting just about every line in that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know
so,
what? I hope
cares?
They get no pumpkin pie.
That's right. I hope they get no pumpkin pie and the dog bites them. That's what I hope. Because these politically correct people are spoiling life.
Exactly.
They're taking all the fun out of life. No, that was actually great, Frank. I think that I really enjoyed it, as I've enjoyed all of these over the years that we've done this. And the only thing I can say is start looking through your books, because we have another holiday coming up here in about 23 days.
Oh, God.
What? No, 30 days. 30 days, right? 30 days. So start thinking of something that you can read to us at Christmas time. Is that a deal?
That's a deal. And I will say that the literature of Christmas is much wider than the literature of Thanksgiving.
So is the food on the table, Frank.
A little bit
more variety, too. I think that's true, too. And I think that a little bit more. Let me put it this way, more diversity in history, because, you know, what we now call Christmas is for, you know, the basically a combination of so many things. I mean, I have my own experience in the traditional Spanish Christmas, which is, I'm sure, different than other Christmases that other people have. So to me, Christmas is a holiday that is like a combination of so many. I mean, it's obviously about Christ, the birth of Christ, but I mean, so many other people have put in their ideas, you know, from the three wise men to Santa Claus to everything else in between, Frank.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's in addition to the, let's say, the spiritual meaning, there mm-hmm. are so many wonderful memories. And, you know, as
oh, yeah.
you get older, it becomes somewhat bittersweet because you think of all the people you
right.
knew and loved who made the holiday special who are no longer with us.
Well,
but it's
and you're... No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish. No, I was just gonna...
also great to think about some of the things that made you happy. Yesterday,
right.
in fact, I was talking to a good friend of mine. I've known him since I was in grade school. And he's a Catholic Monsignor in New York. He's pastor of the church, the parish where we both grew up, which was a difficult assignment for him. But in any case, we were talking, and I said, well, John, we're approaching the holy season of electric trains. And he said, you bet we are. I'm setting mine up.
Well, that's right. Well, you're right. And Christmas does bring back memories of electric trains. You're exactly right. Who didn't
have
one?
And I remember your horse.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Is that a great story? We'll share that story again on the Christmas show, because that blew away everybody who had spent so much money buying us gifts. I remember that one. But you did say something, one last thought here before we go. You did say something that was very, very touching, and you say that Thanksgiving or Christmas later is bittersweet. These holidays are bittersweet because, you know, obviously my father is not here anymore, but, you know, we used to spend it with him. I mean, every Thanksgiving that I can remember, he was in it. So, yes, you're right. The bittersweet memories of, you know, you remember, we used to go to my parents' home Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Those memories are always going to be there. And you think about those people, you know, you think about whether it's your family or friends who are not around anymore. Well, Frank, as always, very grateful, and thank you for your time. And I can't wait for our Christmas show. That'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, God's blessings and a happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and to our audience.
Thank you so much, Frank. Likewise to you up there in Wisconsin, where I still think of that as my American hometown in so many ways. I have so many
Absolutely.
Wonderful memories of Wisconsin, and it's just, even though I didn't live there all my life, I just lived there for a while, but I have so many wonderful memories of that place and what it meant to us arriving from Cuba and our first Thanksgiving and all of that. It all comes back. In fact, it should be there tomorrow, but I have a little post about my first Thanksgiving. Hopefully it'll go up tomorrow over at American Thinker. Check it out and tell me what you think of it.
I sure will, Sylvia.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
All right,
thank
Frank.
You.
Thank you very much. Our good friend Frank Burke, we have a link, as I mentioned, to his book and to his many, many articles at the American Thinker, and he's also a businessman. And we always enjoy chatting with him in these shows. Well, we talk about him, you know, we talk with him about politics a lot, but on these holiday shows, whether Thanksgiving or Christmas, we always enjoy spending a little time with Frank. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you enjoy doing whatever you do for Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.